stand for the reading of God's Word.
Reading from Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, a whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears that as you speak to us today, we will receive those words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. So, I'm a little on the weird side. I have this thing that I like to do, and it might not be as weird as I think it is, but. So I like to watch people. Anybody else like to watch people? I like going to malls and just sitting there in the middle and stare at people. After a little while, you can look at their face and you can tell what's going on in their lives. You can see those that are happy, like my wife. You can see those that wish they were somewhere else, like me. You can see those who are dealing with things in their lives and their mind is concentrating on that. You can also see those who aren't concentrating on anything but their phone, and those are easy to find out because they usually walk into something or someone. But just by watching people's faces, you can pretty much get an idea of what's going on in their lives at that time. So, our scripture text today is talking about the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And if you read a little bit before where we started, it talks about Jesus telling his disciples to go and get the colt and bringing it to him. But I want you to do me a favor. I want you to put yourself in that crowd of people that were there on the roadside that day. And I want you to imagine just looking around, kind of one of those panoramic views. I think that's what it is. That's where you start over here and kind of do this, right? Right? Okay. And I want you to people watch for just a minute. I want you to start to your left. And as you gaze and look across, you see old men and old women. You see children. You see young people. You see middle-aged. Right over there, you see the Roman soldiers. kind of hanging out. And as you pan on over just a little bit further, there are some of the Pharisees mixed in the crowd there. And then there's some more over here. And then you have these other folks that are standing, I don't know, right about there. And they're looking a little on the suspicious side. And then over here, right along the front, you see people that are crying, or they're kneeling down, or they're excited, and they're all shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." And as we go down a little further, I don't know, there's a hot dog stand. And on the other side of the road, there's a souvenir stand where they're selling the palms. But as you look and you see the crowd that has gathered, just for a split second, thinking to yourself, okay, so what? I wonder what's going on with that group, or what's going on in their minds over here, or what's going on over here, or I wonder how much a latte is. Thinking about what was going on with those people at that time. And as you think about that, imagine as Jesus rode into the city, the one thing that happened that only Luke records. Jesus wept. This was supposed to be a happy time. How many parades have you ever gone to that the masters of ceremonies, or what's that called? The one that goes first? Grand Marshal. You ever seen a Grand Marshal crying as they led a parade through the city? Why would Jesus be crying on the most exciting day? He's coming into Jerusalem. Here the streets are lined with all of these people. They're all shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." You see, Jesus was people watching too. And these are the ones that he saw. And this is why he wept. As Jesus rode in to the city, he looked around him and behind him, and he saw the apostles. And the apostles were walking along. I figure they're kind of strutting a little bit, because here their master, their rabbi, their teacher is being honored in the streets. And I figure they're laughing and cutting up and just enjoying themselves. And I figure they're probably singing too. It's possible that one or two of them are making fun of Peter because he's off key. But Jesus wept. You see, Jesus wept for them because he knew what they were fixing to go through. He knew what they were going to have to endure in order to be able to faithfully finish their race. Jesus saw chains. He saw prison cells. He saw beatings. He saw James beheaded. He saw Thomas stoned. And he saw Peter crucified upside down. Jesus wept for his apostles and disciples. You remember the Pharisees I told you about? Jesus wept for the Pharisees because, you see, they were so angry at him that he had incited a riot. Tell your disciples to be quiet. If I tell them to be quiet, the stones are going to yell out. So what are you going to do about that? They were angry. They confronted Jesus. They didn't like that He was going against the status quo. So Jesus wept for them. He wept for them because God had said, they will worship Me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from Me. You see, as long as everything stayed within the law, the Pharisees were happy because they were in control. They controlled their lives. They controlled the other people's lives just by enforcing the law. But now Jesus has come along and told them, it's not about the law anymore, people. So Jesus wept for the Pharisees. And you remember the Roman soldiers? They were standing back over here. He wept for the Roman soldiers, believe it or not. He wept for the enemy. Because you see, the Roman soldiers didn't want to be there. They were there for extra protection. They were there against their will. Okay. You ever going to work one day? And your day's coming to an end? And you're thinking about going home and eating dinner with your family or getting in 9 holes before you go home or, you know, something great. And the boss walks in and says, oh, Bill, I need you to work late. I've got this project that I need you to take care of. How happy are you going to be with that? Roman soldiers did not want to be there. Why would they want to be there? I mean, it's Jesus. It's one guy. Can y'all not handle your own stuff? So here's the deal. We're going to stand over here in a group. You do your thing. We'll collect our money and we'll go home. Jesus wept for the Roman soldiers because they missed it. You remember the shady characters that were over here? Jesus wept for them. Because you see, they were there because here Jesus was coming into the city and He was going to become the king. But they saw a physical king. And they were ready for the overthrow of the Roman government. They were ready to see a war. And they were ready to become part of that. Jesus wept for them because they didn't see the true meaning behind His coming. These were the same people that were standing over there going, Hosanna in the highest! But Jesus knew in a few days they were going to continue to shout, but the shout would be different. It would be, crucify Him! Crucify Him! Crucify Him! So Jesus wept. So, that was a pretty good group of people there, right? And as Jesus rode into town and He looked into the faces of every person there, and He saw the true meaning that was within their heart, it was a unique day. But you know what? Jump ahead several thousand years. Not much has changed. The faces haven't changed any. You see, as Jesus looks at the crowd today, as Jesus looks at the church today, what faces do you think He sees? What outcome do you think there is? Does He see the Roman soldiers? You know, just don't bother me, Jesus. Let me do my thing. You do your thing. Let me live my life my own way. And we'll be good. You be there as my token. Does He see the Roman soldier in some of our faces? Does He see the Pharisees? Does He see hostility towards Jesus? In other words, does He see those that don't want to give up their power, their pride, their position? They don't want God to interfere. They want to keep their wrong attitudes. Does Jesus see that in the crowd or in the church today? Does He see the ruthless, self-serving followers? You know, those who will follow Jesus as long as He goes by their plans and their rules and their regulations, fulfilling their needs. And they're going to agree with Jesus as long as He doesn't demand anything out of them. Are those faces in the crowd today? Those that have Jesus on their mantle piece as a token collecting dust. Does Jesus see the faithful followers? Does He see those with hardships? Does He see those who are fruitful followers, who aren't afraid to die for Him? You see, for those faces in the crowd, He continues to weep. But those are tears of joy. So as we celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus back into our lives today, we need to remember as we look in this particular congregation, there are many faces here today. Which face is yours? Which face belongs to you? You know, unfortunately, we weren't able to be there on that day. That would have been pretty cool, wouldn't it? That would have been pretty awesome to be standing there by the roadside with a palm in our hands, witnessing God's Son coming into the city. But you know, we didn't have a choice there. But we will have another chance to to see the triumphant entry again. The cool thing about that triumphant entry is when Jesus returns to take us home. It'll be that parade that comes through, and as He looks across the crowd, the tears will flow again. Some tears of sadness for those that missed out. Those that thought they had all the time in the world. Those that misinterpreted who He was. But there's going to be tears of joy for those who have stayed faithful. For those who have put aside the world in order to follow Him. That's the one we really don't want to miss out on, right? That's the one we want to be seen at rejoicing. So as we think about this day, historically, as we think about the things that went on, as we think about the faces that were in the crowd, think about the faces in the crowd today. And each one of ours is in that crowd. Think about when Jesus looks down at you. What face in the crowd will He see? What do we need to do to examine ourselves and change from tears of sadness to tears of joy? Holy Week begins today. This is the week where we focus all of our might and being as Christians on being who we're supposed to be. Can we do it on our own? Nope. That's why Friday's coming. Because we are unable to do anything for ourselves. We can't buy our salvation. We can't do works for our salvation. It's all because of Christ. And Friday's coming. Payday is Friday. Enjoy the triumphant entry. Enjoy what today means. Enjoy what this week means. Because without Christ, we don't have a chance. Let's pray. Holy Father, we come before You right now as a face in the crowd. Father, only You know our true hearts. You know where we are in that grouping. Open our eyes that we can look at ourselves and see where we might need to do some improving. See where we might need to make a move in our walk in order to be more faithful to You. Father, watch over us and keep us. And help us to see what this coming week means to us. Father, we pray all this in Your Son's name. Amen.